Wow. Long lost family. Here we are. Some of you are them. You know, some of you are them. I mean, before I knew you, I didn't even know you were my brothers and sisters and daughters. And I mean, but you're that long lost family. And I am closer to some of you than my blood family. You know, I see you more. I know more about your life. I talk to you more than I talk to my own sisters who are in Utah and, you know, out there, Columbus and all that. I mean, there is this connection as Christians, brothers and sisters, that is going deeper. You know, they said, you know, blood is deep. You know, blood is, there's nothing closer than blood brothers. Than that. I'm telling you, there's something in us that is deeper, and we see it in time of crisis. You know, we see it in time of need. You know, when we need prayer, when we need encouragement and support, and I realized that so much when I became in need. I got a great dinner, you know, a great dinner from Nadine and it was, and Mark, it was great to have that meal come over. The girls brought it over, and what a blessing that was, you know. And we're there. We want to be there for you. And it's a family, and it's deeper than DNA. And don't get me started on that. I'm going to talk about DNA on Father's Day, okay? And I hope I don't blow it, talk about it too soon, okay? Because I'm so excited about what God, divine nature, added. You know, I mean, there's the DNA. We have our DNA. Oh, here I go. Never mind. All right. You know, when these messages are so wonderful, you know, Carly, oh my gosh. Wow, bless that, Lord. You know what I mean? That power and that anointing on her life. Whoo, Lord, we just ask you to bless that, increase that. Oh my goodness, you know, we need that. Come on, come on. You know, more, Lord. You know, we're getting old and tired, and these young ones are going to need to come up. You know what I mean? Woo, you know, hey, don't think that dancing's easy with half a lung, okay? Woo, am I going to make it? You know what I mean? Doug, stop playing that river music, all right? Oh, it gets my feet a dancing, gets that joy flowing. Wonderful. Oh, my goodness. So here we are talking about our family. Here in Ephesians, Paul is greeting. This is a family greeting. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, grace to you and peace. Grace to you and peace. It's a greeting, okay? But don't try this at school. Don't go up to your friends and say, grace and peace to you. You know, it's scary. That would scare them. You know, grace and peace to you. So it's one thing to say it, okay, but it's one thing to be it. So I recommend that you be grace and peace. You don't have to say it. Just be grace and peace in the situation. I feel like I'm going to preach over here a lot today. Okay. And girls, I have a message to you from the Father. Okay? Don't believe the first I love you. Listen to me, girls. Okay? Don't believe the first I love you. All right? Because it's easy to say. It's very, think about this. Say, oh, I remember on Sunday morning when Pastor Dave said, don't believe the first I love you, and he's saying, I love you. I mean, you can get caught up in that, okay? Wait till he is, I love you. Wait till he shows that he loves you. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's easy to say in the heat of the moment, I love you, you know, and it just, you know, but to be, I love you, to be, I love you. God has shown himself a lover of mankind. He has demonstrated his love towards us, hasn't he? I mean, he has demonstrated that love. Wait till that guy demonstrates that love, you know? And don't be fooled by that. Let him demonstrate that love towards you over a period of time. Remember, like that. It's like to make the decision not to take the drink or take the joint, not when you're in the back seat of the car and it's coming around. Okay? I mean, because when it's coming around, all right, and it's, you're next, okay, huh? You know, when it's being passed, You've had made that decision right now. Right now. You got a plan for that decision. Okay? No, I'm not doing that. No, I don't care if everybody's doing it. If your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off too? Did you guys ever hear that? Oh, my mother said that to me more times. Yeah, I jumped a few times too. And whoo, thank God he was there to catch me. Right, Doug? Wow. He's jumping. He's jumping. The angels are going, come on, you guys, he's jumping. He's jumping. Todd knows what I'm talking about. Todd knows that we jumped a few times, didn't we, Todd? More than a few. And he was right there. Oh, my gosh, I got all that out of that one verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be that grace and peace. The word peace is eirene, or no barriers. We need to be a person that doesn't see barriers between other people. Because of color, because of, ethnicity or other issues, culture. We need to be that grace and peace in the situation. Young people, you need to be that grace and peace in the situation. You know, last night I went to a winery, and they had this band called Light of Day. Wow, it was really cool. And it was an African-American band, and they were doing Soul Train, Soul Train, and everybody's going around the whole room, the whole line going around the room, Soul Train, and the lady was leading the Soul Train. She says, hey, we're all black and white in here, aren't we? There's blacks, there's whites, there's, this and that. And he says, but we're one. We're all one in the spirit. She's preaching at the winery, okay? And everybody's having a blast. Wow. They're being it in this situation. They're not just saying it. And see, we want to be authentic. Don't we want to be authentic? I want to be authentic. I want to be real. And I can't just say it. Well, grace and peace to you, sister. In Jesus' name. In his mighty name. The name above every name. Woo! Now, culturally, that does not translate very well. But being it translates. They're looking for genuine. People are looking for genuine love. Genuine acceptance. That's what they're looking for, no matter what you say. And we're not going to get them all in here, okay, to say it. Say it with me. Grace and peace be with you. Say it with me again. Grace and peace be with you. Now go be it, or so be it. It says, grace and peace to you from our Father. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. We don't have to beg for blessing. He already did. We're already blessed. We don't have to, oh God, please bless me. Please, 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 please. No, we're not beggars. We're sons and daughters. Your kids don't beg you, for dinner. They just, expect it. There's an expectation that you're going to provide, and that's our expectation from God. Lower our expectation for people and raise our expectation for God. Because people are only human, they're going to disappoint you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So he's poured out this heavenly blessing upon us. How many feel it? How many sense it? This morning in here, it's so easy to sense it. But like I said, even out there, I'm driving here and alongside the side of the road are all these beautiful flowers and lavender and all this green. And if you get in a bad place, you can miss it. I mean, it's beautiful, You know what I'm talking about? Gail knows what I'm talking about. It's his blessing. It's just a promise of his blessing. All the beauty in the world. Oh my gosh, I saw this morning on the news that there's two new snow leopards at the zoo. Bless that work, Lord. Saving those, that's an important work being done there, isn't it? Saving those beautiful animals, God's creation. And that's the heart of God. And that's a vocation coming out. That's a vocation God has placed in there. And it's coming out in a manifestation of saving that. Wow. Oh my goodness. Blessing. He has chosen us. Oh, he has blessed us. Now he has chosen us. You're chosen of God. Long lost family. There's millions, bazillions of people out there that he has chosen and they don't even know it. They're chosen of God. They think, oh, if only God would, you know, love me. He does. He loves you. He hasn't changed his mind about you. There's nothing you can do to make him change his mind about you. Amen. Amen. Oh, I love that. Amen. Yes, amen. When you got that, you know you can smile at God and you just know he's smiling back at you. Ooh, and you get a tan while you're doing it. Woo! Smile at God. It says he has chosen us, us in him. How long ago? Before the foundation of the world. That means you've been in God's heart forever. Okay? Even before you were born, you are in God's heart. Oh, he's going to prove that even with another word here. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what Carly was talking about. Wholeness. Being a whole person. Not being fragmented. You know, he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. No, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Oh, he blesses you. He blesses you. He blesses you. See, we're not fragmented. We're not, you know, up and down and frustrated because we know his love. We know his love. We know there's one place we can go where his love is assured, where love is assured. That's him. It says, having predestined us. Now, that's not a theological position, okay? You can make it into a theological position of predestination. No, you've always been in God's heart. See, a mystic can make it very simple. Yeah, you know, it's not you're in and she's out, you know, because you're predestined. You're not. No, you've both always been in God's heart. Yeah. That's how I see it. You both always, I mean, it's been in his plan since day one in the beginning, okay? You've been in God's heart. Somehow in his mind, God's makeup, back in day one, he knew you. He knew you. And he had this plan for you. I mean, don't ask me. It's so big. We make God little, you know. But it's so big. It's so vast that he had you. Paul's talking about it. So what is he? He has chosen us. He has predestined us. And it says, in adoption as sons of Jesus Christ himself. He has adopted us into his family. He's adopted. You're adopted. You're chosen. You just didn't come along and he had to accept you. You're chosen. You're chosen. Each one of us is chosen by God. And what does he say there? He says he has predestined us. He has, according to his good pleasure of his will, he has made us accepted in the beloved. Doesn't it say that up there someplace? He has made us, having predestined us to adoption as sons of Jesus Christ, according to good pleasure of his will. He's happy about this. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted. So he has accepted us. Oh my goodness. How could you ever get depressed? Even when people reject you, even when you're not in the in crowd, you know, whatever. Hey, God's accepted us. God's chosen me. I'm the beloved of God. Oh my gosh. You carry this right here. You carry all this right here in your heart. Oh my goodness. You can change a whole school. You could change whole soul in high school, you know, with that kind of attitude, with that kind of mentality. And that's who he's looking for, that kind of family, those kind of people that understand that they're in the family of God. And they want more brothers and sisters, more sons and daughters. Oh my goodness, this is so exciting to know these people. Let's see, where were we? Ephesians 1. Okay, and it says, to the praise, oh, I read that. In him we have redemption. Oh, another thing. There it is. Blessing, chosenness, predestined, accepted, and now we have redemption, redeemed. All the sins you have committed or will commit are redeemed by the blood of the cross. That's the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Whew. I recently met with a group of religious leaders, you know. There was a Buddhist, and there was a Hindu, and there was a Muslim, and there was a Sikh, and there was an apostle. He was the Christian. That's how they introduced him. Yeah. Boy, were these guys smart. But I don't think they really understood the blood, because they were all trying so hard. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And they had so much to say, you know, but it's the power of the blood. It says we're accepted, we're redeemed, we're made holy through what? The blood. The blood. And we're going to celebrate communion. I said, celebrate, hallelujah. It's communion. It's time for dinner, Daddy. It's time. Woo. Wow. I'm telling you, when my dog gets so excited when it's dinner time, I'll tell you, you can't keep that dog down, you know? Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm telling you, that's how we should be about communion. It's not this solemn, you know? It's dinner time, you know? It's dinner time. And here he is. He says, through the blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the richness. This is the real wealth. The richness of his grace. Oh, the richness of his grace. Oh, my goodness. So vast. And it seems like we're just beginning to dip into it, doesn't it, Sandy? It just seems like we're just beginning to understand the richness of his grace. I tried so hard for so many years to be that holy person, holier than thou. You know what I mean? You know, a holy person only takes himself seriously. Really? How is me? Holy. And here he is. He has made us holy by his blood. By his blood. It says right there. And he has made abounding toward us all wisdom and prudence and understanding. So there's no self-hatred. No self-hatred. And only acceptance in the blood. And the healing comes through acceptance. The more you know you're accepted and you're loved, the more you heal. My healing for my surgery started right in that hospital room when they were ministering love to me through care. That's when the healing began. Whew. Oh, my gosh. And it takes time. But when you know you're accepted, they didn't say, all right, you can't pay, get out of here. You know what I mean? No, I mean, money wasn't brought up at all till later. And but, I mean, they didn't talk about money in the beginning or anything. They just talked about get well. You know, get well. Here's how you get well. And in a family, in a community, I wrote this down, in a faith family or community, it can choose to be a place of hurting or healing. How many been in the hurting one? That's why some people won't go back. I ain't doing that again. You know, man, those people hurt me. That guy hurt me. He didn't even remember my name. Sorry, that was me. You know, I told Carly this morning, I said, Carly, I don't even, when they said Carly's going to do the opening, I said, who's Carly? You know, she's my sister. Hi, sister. You know what I mean? That's the good one. You forget the name and call them brother or sister. You know, that's a great out. You know, so a faith community can be a place of healing or hurting. There are only two choices, and there's no neutrality. Either people who come in here are going to get healed or they're going to be hurt. And a lot of times they don't give us much time to prove it. You know? Man, a lot of times they make up their mind in like 5 minutes. And they need to be part of the family to know. You know? Christine, it was her last Sunday last week, you know? Her last Sunday. And God mentioned to me in the service, you know, kind of prompted me. He said, I want you to pray for Christine. The thing on vocation, you know, because I had read about vocation, you know. And I said, I'll wait till next week. I said, I'll wait till next week because I'm preaching and, you know, I look like I know stuff and call her out, you know, and make me look good. So anyway, after the service, I went over and I said, you know, I want to pray with you. And she says, oh, I'm so glad it's my last Sunday. Whew. We only had her for such a short time. We don't know how long we're going to have people, do we? And I want you, you know, to tell Tony, okay, even though I don't see him here every week, I think about him every day. And he's at home probably thinking, nobody cares about me. Nobody thinks about me. But I'm telling you what, we care about him. And I know he can't make it right now for some reason. I tried to call him last week, you know, but he didn't pick up the phone. But I'm telling you, we care about him. I mean, it's a lie that we don't care about him. We care about him. I know we care about him. The other day, you know, Pat's not been here. I haven't seen Patty's taking care of his mother-in-law. I mean, given, what's her name? Kathy, thank you. Given Kathy. It's a laugh cry. It's a laugh cry. Right? I love laugh cries. So giving Kathy time to be here, a break during the week, you know, and Pat. So what do? I run into my brother in Home Depot. Oh, I love those times where we can have church at Home Depot. You know, I mean, it's just so wonderful. You know,
and
he went home and forgot why he was there. Oh my gosh, what a family. I love this family. You know, I just love the family. And you know, we're not going to be as close with one as we are with others or the whole thing, but that's what it's like with my brothers and sisters. You know, I'm close with my sister. I call my sister every day. She calls me. We talk about God, but I don't hear from the rest of them, you know, and it's just not the same. It says, so we're even going to have a choice. If we're not out healing, we're going to be hurting. And that's in the community. If we're not out healing, we're going to be hurting. And you guys are doing a good job of it. I've seen a change. I've seen a change in your hearts. I've seen a change in your posts on Facebook and different things. You're doing it. You're getting it, folks. You're really getting it. It's not us and them. It's us. It's us. It's the whole family. It's the whole. It's God's original intent. It says, wherever there is a human being, there's a place for kindness. There is a place for kindness. We need kindness, folks. We need that kind of thing. Now let's go over to Paul's prayer. Paul's getting this, you know, and there's no covenant confusion. But Paul is in transition. Isn't Paul in transition? Because he is a doctor of the law. Okay, so he understands the law. And when he finds grace, he goes, oh, wretched man that I am. Self-hatred. Because he's in transition from the old to the new covenant. And he doesn't get it yet. And he's very transparent about it. Who shall save me from this body of death? Because anger and frustration and meanness is killing us. It's killing the world. It's killing the culture. It's killing America. When they put us in two paradigms, or try to put us in two paradigms, black and white and young and old and Republican and Republican and Democrat, they're killing us. We're a family. We're one. That's the original intent. Whew. Oh my gosh, when I met with those Christian leaders, you know, there was the Buddhist in the saffron robes, and, you know, there was the Muslim with his turban, and there was the Sikh with his turban, and everything, you know, and they're cultural barriers. And I'm like, are you ready to take that off to come to me? What are you ready to give up? What are you ready to give up to make one? To make love flow? What are you ready to do? What are you ready to do? Or are you going to keep your cultural barriers up there? See, God gave all. Jesus gave all. We need to give up the right to our own opinion. The right to our own opinion. It's killing us. Oh, see, we need to be bringing that grace and peace. grace it. That's what he's called us to do. Call the family in. And you guys are doing a good job of it. So what's his prayer? Here's Paul's prayer. He's getting it. He's wrestling with it like we all. You know, somehow we deify Paul and think he didn't wrestle with stuff. But he is wrestling with this. He is really, and we wrestle with covenant confusion. We try to reach back to the old to control people. You know? We really do. We try to judge them according to the old to control them. I did it when I was a youth minister. Oh my goodness, I tried to scare the hell out of kids. You know, hey, you're going to hell in a handbasket. You know, I mean, it was good for control, but you know, it wasn't accepted. They needed to know they were accepted. I thank God, you know, for youth ministers today that are demonstrating love. There needs to be no confusion about the love of God and the acceptance in the family of God. Young people are looking for acceptance. That's why they do all kinds of weird things, you know, to get acceptance. And if they know that their acceptance, and Paul prays in Ephesians 3, he says, for this reason. What's the reason? Because he knows the love of the Father. The love of the Father has compelled him to pray this prayer. He finally is getting it. He's in a new covenant. And it's not a covenant of control. It's a covenant of love. It's a covenant of grace, a covenant of mercy. I mean, this just boggles their mind. They were so religious. They were so religious. It says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. Bow my knees to the Father. I give up my theology. Whoa! He was a doctor of the law. He had spent his whole life learning the law. He was a persecutor of Christians and a self-righteous persecutor of the Christians. He was in the plan to kill Stephen. Wow. I'm telling you, but we're getting it. Aren't we getting it? We're finally getting it. We're finally getting it. Why? Because there's people they're praying. Give them a revelation, Lord. Give them a revelation. Give them a revelation of the Father's love. For whom the whole family, that's what he says, for whom the whole family. This word whole, if you look it up, is pater. Ho! Pater. Father's family. The Father's family, the original intent, God's original intent was that all his children, his long lost family, would come to him. That's what we're part of, folks. That's what we're part of. Are you going to give up your religion to gather them in? That it says us and them? Or are you going to say, it's us, it's us? When you see somebody, when you see all of them, Sikh, Hindu, all of us. All of us, God's heart in the Father's house, our Father heart in heaven. It says in the Father's house, there's room for everybody. There's room for everybody. Make room, make room, make room, make room, move over, whatever it takes. Oh my gosh, you know, it's so easy. Hearts are open. Man, you know, I've been driving Uber. The other night, I drove a guy to Brecksville. It's the end of the world. A 24-year-old drunk guy that just broke up with his girlfriend and hates his job. That was 30 minutes, 35 minutes, you know? And he says, what advice do you have for me? Oh my goodness. Grace and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, man. Oh, man. I mean, the love of God. I mean, you know, the love of God just can come out in a way of don't quit, keep going, you know. Marry that girl, get back with her, you know what I mean? Just encouragement and love, you know, and that. And he says, well, I'll give you a $5. I'll give you a fiver at the end. I'm like, okay, you know, thanks. So anyway, opportunity, opportunity, opportunity to be that grace and peace. Opportunity to know the love of Christ. And he says that, he prayed, this is why I bow my knees. This is, I bow my knees to my opinion. I bow my knees to my theology. I bow my knees to my religion. And I want a revelation of the Father's love for everybody out there. That he would grant you according to the riches of the glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. See, calling that vocation out of you, that love that we're implanting in you, that love, that revelation of it being accepted in the beloved, and want to bring that long-lost family in. At the days of handing out tracts, folks, you know, I was going by the queue the other day. So, oh my gosh, so don't get me started. And there's a guy with a sign, okay? John 3:16, you know what I mean? I mean, come on, guys. It's culturally, you know, and there's the guy next to him handing out the tracts. And here are the people. you know. Come on, guys. Let's be real. Let's be relevant. I mean, you know, come on, swear a little bit if you have to. I mean, that's what people are looking for. They're looking for reality, okay? They're looking for genuineness. They're looking for wholeness. Not holy more than thou this, wholeness. I'm whole. I got a whole family. I picked up some guys the other day going to the bachelor party. Yeah, we got a bachelor in the car. You know, have you ever been married? I said, yeah, 40 years. Wholeness. You know, and I know we prayed. You know, if you get divorced, God still loves you. You know, if you went, you had a problem or something, whatever. But they're looking for genuine. What's genuine? Something that still works. You know, I mean, it's so amazing. I love driving Uber. It's like a pulpit, you know. It's just incredible. Four girls get in the car, okay, and they're going salsa dancing. Now, they're mothers, all right? And they come out of the house going, woot, woot, yeah, we're free, you know? I'm going, oh, great, you know? So they get in the car, and they start chattering, and one has to sit in the front. And they're, you know, well, Dave, what are you all about? Because they know your name because it comes up, you know. What are you all about? You know, this, that, and the other thing and everything. And I said, well, you know, have you got any kids? Oh, yeah, 7 of them. What? They got 1 or 2 and a half, you know, they can't handle it. You know, well, you know, same woman, yeah, same woman. All this and that, and they get out of the car. Dave, you've inspired us. What? Just helping people on their journey. Just helping people on their journey. You know, that's all you got to do. You got to help people. That's what you're here for. You've done it with your own kids and done a good job of it, no matter what they say. Okay. Now you're here just to help others on their journey. Just help around the journey. Doug, let's have a communion. All right. I don't want to go too long here. Judy's waiting for me. So let's go to Corinthians. Oh, I love that. I love that. So Paul is praying that we have this fresh revelation of the Father's love. Because the people he's speaking to are coming out of religion. They're coming out of religion, and it's a tough transition, isn't it? We're more comfortable in religion when we know the rules. Some people are better rules keepers than others. I particularly have never been a good rule keeper. Okay? And finally found out that I'm not a failure as a Christian. I'm just a human being who God loves. Always. The whole family. Every family group. Everyone that he has created. This long lost family. And in 1 Corinthians, as we get our hearts ready for communion, because it tells us in 1 Corinthians, it says, let a man examine himself. Now, this is a different twist on it, okay, for me. You know, Jesus says, or I think it was Jesus or Paul, he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. So what are you basing your belief system on? Your own ability to keep the rules or the blood of Christ? The body and blood of Christ. Because if it's your own ability, there's going to be self-hatred. And self-hatred will trickle down the hatred of others who you see not keeping the rules the way you should or the way they're supposed to be. You know, it'll make you think us and them. It'll make you good and bad and, you know, good and evil. When God doesn't think like that, He sees you as good all the time. He sees us as good because of the blood of Jesus. And that's what we're going to celebrate here this morning. And I wanted to bring fresh bread. I wanted to bring fresh bread because it's a fresh revelation. It's a continual fresh revelation. And He gives us a sacramental thing to do on a regular basis to remind us that it is His body and blood. Not our own effort. Not because He knew immediately Peter was going to fail. He knew immediately that he wasn't going to be recognized like the two guys on the road to Emmaus. He knew immediately that they needed a constant reminder of His broken body and His poured out blood. So I'm going to ask the ushers to get and hand out the cups as Doug begins to sing that song. I loved it this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to examine yourself. It says, examine yourself. And so let Him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Eat without condemnation. I want you to eat without any condemnation. I want you to eat the truth this morning. Swallow the truth. When you take this bread, because you're going to have the cup, and when you're ready, I want you to walk up after you've examined yourself and take the bread. And it says, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats judgment to himself. Don't worry about judgment. God's already decided. God's already decided. You're all in. You're all in. If you're not a member here or, you know, jump through some hoops, come. Come eat. Eat the truth. Eat the truth and get a fresh revelation. Young people, I want you to come. I want you to come and have eat the truth this morning, you know. It says, not discerning the Lord's body. So we underestimate the power of the body of Christ. And you thought all these years it was about being a sinner, didn't you? Oh, today is a day of revelation and freedom for you then. It says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Self-hatred brings sickness. Self-hatred brings disease. Self-hatred and guilt brings all kinds of condemnation. It's not good, folks. It's not good. I want you to be free this morning. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I already delivered to you. What did Paul receive? He received that he was chosen. He was predestined. He was adopted. He was accepted. He was redeemed. He was forgiven. And he was blessed and graced. The same things that you are. It says, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in like manner, he took the cup He said, this is the new covenant. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me a little shiver. A revelation of the power of the new covenant. Do this, as often as you do this, drink it in remembrance of me. Let's do this in remembrance of him. Let's sing that, Doug, and come take the bread when you're ready.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me through the valleys and over mountains, through the dark night when I couldn't see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. You rescued me. When I was broken, I had no hope left to believe. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Savior. You rescued me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Through the valley and over mountains, through the dark nights when I couldn't see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me.
God, we thank you for loving us so beautifully and so fiercely. You never stop chasing us down. So we thank you for that, and we bless your name today. And we ask you to give us what we need to be the grace and be the peace and be the love everywhere we go. In Jesus' name. Have a great week. Thanks for coming today. Be blessed as you go.